السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله.
الحمد لله، الحمد لله وكفى، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا ادخلوا في السلم كافة ولا تتبعوا خطوات الشيطان إنه لكم عدو مبين. صدق الله العظيم. Ulama-i-Kiram, most respected brothers and sisters at the madrasa, we are still discussing that hadith of Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in which Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam says that my Allah, my Rabb, instructed me, ordered me with regards to 9 things. Specific instructions, special orders. My Rabb ordered me that I should fear him both in private life and in public life, both in seclusion and in public, I should fear Allah. My Rabb ordered me that I should say that which is haq, that which is the truth, under all conditions, that which is just and fair under all conditions, whether I am pleased with the person or I am displeased, but I must only say that which is just and which is fair. I'm just giving the meaning of the hadith. The third thing is that under all conditions, whether it is a condition of poverty or it is a condition of affluence and wealth, I must adopt moderation. I must not go on to extremes. I must not become extravagant when Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has given me sufficiency, when He has given me affluence, when He has given me richness. And I must not become miserly also at the same time if I have got affluence and richness. And on the other hand, if Allah Ta'ala has given me poverty, then there must be sabr. There must be still gratitude to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala for the ni'mats which He has blessed me, even in that state. That is what it means. That the poorest of all persons also, if he has to look at the ni'mats that are just within his body. Recently there was one article in which they were putting a price tag on these transplants that are taking place. So the racket is being run in India and other parts of the world, where they are stealing people's livers, lungs, kidneys, eyes. The moment the person dies, these things are taken, snatched out, or even they are killing people and taking it away and selling the parts. And they say that these parts are selling for thousands of rands. Just for the kidney, they said 175,000 rands. The eyes, 100,000 rands. The heart, 275,000 rands. Now imagine, they're taking it out from the poor people, those who were dying of starvation, or those who had nobody to really cry over them after their death. They go into such areas and they capture these type of people, or they buy them off. They buy them off. They give them a few hundred rupees, they buy it off, and then they sell it at thousands. So if we have to just put some price tag on all these items that are within our bodies, then even if we don't have 1 cent in our pockets, we are already millionaires. We are millionaires even without a cent in our pockets, if the person really has to ponder and reflect over that and meditate, that how much of wealth Allah Ta'ala has put into this body of ours. And He doesn't charge us anything for it. But again, if I'm going to touch on any one of these three, we will remain there. So therefore, let's proceed to the next one. So the fourth point that we were discussing is when Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that my Rabb ordered me that I should maintain family ties. That even if people are cutting off family ties, then I must bond it. I must link. I must join. I must maintain and retain those family ties. And also the next point that he said, what Allah Ta'ala ordered him, is that if somebody deprives me, then too I must still give to that person. Person has deprived me of my rights, So then I must not say, he has deprived me of my rights, why should I fulfill his rights? I must still fulfill his rights. That person has stopped his gifts and his generosity and kindness, the family member, for whatever reason. So then I must not say that that person has stopped it, so why should I keep on giving and continuing with my generosity and kindness? So I'm going to stop it too. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, my Rabb ordered me that I must give even to those who deprive me. And then he said, my Rabb has ordered me that I must forgive those who commit injustice or harm me in any way. They do injustice to me, I must forgive them. I discussed to some extent, I think, that this is not the principle, that it is permissible. Islam is a fair and a just religion. It takes into consideration the temperaments of everybody. So therefore, some people will just not feel satisfied until they have gone to court of law and obtained the right or demanded the right. So Sharia allows it, that if injustice is done, then it is permissible. If the person can resolve it, all the better. But if he cannot and he has to go to a third party to mediate or to arbitrate and get some decision and finality and demand his right, then it is permissible. But here Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is saying that my Rabb ordered me this, meaning that if he as a Nabi of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is our guide, if he is our uswa, if he is our model, if he is the one that we claim to love and we have ishq in our heart for, so then we will say that if my Nabi could have gone to this extent that he forgave his enemies, he forgave those who were thirsty for his blood, and they were not just thirsty for his blood, they caused him so much of injury and pain that we cannot even imagine. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, no Nabi of the past was troubled as much as I was troubled. No Nabi of the past was troubled as much as I was troubled. The amount of blood of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was shed, it was not shed of any other Nabi in that manner. There were so many things that were done to him. If you have to put the taklif or the trials that came upon all the Nabis of the past, we will say Rasulullah Paak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, just as he had all the beauties of all the Nabis of the past, in the same way all the taklif and the musibat and the tests that came on the Nabis of the past came just on one Nabi of Allah. Just on one. What kind of steadfastness he must have, what kind of sabr he must have exercised, what kind of generosity and kindness our Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam must have been having in his heart to forgive such kind of people. It was not an easy thing. It was not an easy thing. That incident which you have heard so many times on big nights and on Shab-e-Barat occasion and so many other occasions, and which I mentioned in my first, when I was introducing this subject, that these three things will be at Itre Majmua, that things which were mentioned in all the different occasions may come in. But that incident, we just read it and we don't even ponder over it. We just say, yes, Rasulullah Paak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, slander campaign was carried out against his wife, Hazrat Aisha, and then Rasulullah Paak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam forgave them. To us, it's as simple as that. But every time that I read that incident, tears come into my eyes. Because we must just picture, we must imagine, here's a beautiful, pretty young woman who is honest, truthful, pure, chaste, and we cannot find another woman like her in the world. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam dearly loves her. She is his beloved wife. And here there is a munafiq, or the munafiqeen, the hypocrites, are carrying out a slander campaign against her. And for what? Just because she went to search for her necklace, which had fallen off, dropped off somewhere. And she went to search for that. It's a long story, but just to cut it short, the caravan proceeded, they went forward. Hazrat Safwan ibn Mu'attal radiallahu ta'ala, I think it was, who was in charge of checking that if anything was left behind, then he used to gather it and bring it and join the caravan or join the army or the expedition. So when he was coming through, he saw a woman sleeping on the ground. And since before the ayats of parda, he had seen Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. Now this is also an important thing that he mentioned, it is mentioned in that hadith sharif, that before the ayats of parda, he had seen Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. And that is why he recognized her, that this is Hazrat Aisha. But the only thing, he said, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. That is all he said. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Meaning that here Hazrat Aisha is left behind. And because they used to travel in that on the camel, they used to put that box-like structure, and Hazrat Aisha used to sit in there. So they carried that, they put it onto the camel and went away, because she was very lightweight, so they thought that she's sitting in there. Unnecessarily, they never used to engage in conversations. So they put her on there, and they thought that she was in there, and they went away. So now he had seen her before the parda ayat, so he says, I recognized her. All I said was, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Then I made my camel sit, Hazrat Aisha climbed on it, and we went and joined the caravan. We joined the rest of the people. That is all that happened. But the munafiqeen were always looking for some opportunity. So they began to slander. They said, Nauzubillah, Nauzubillah. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha had an affair with Hazrat Safwan bin Mu'attal. And this story started spreading throughout Madina Sharif. The munafiqeen tried to spread it. Now we must just think that this is exactly what the Shias are saying. Read their books, brothers, read it. Don't just get carried away by slogans that we are brothers. Read their books and see what do they say about Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. They say that she was, we can't even bring those words on our tongues, a woman of ill repute. Na'uzu billahi min zalik. Read in all their books, you will find it. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, they say she was a woman of ill repute. And they say that if you look into her eyes, you can see that she is a woman of the fire of hell. Na'uzu billah. And very recently, a book, a magazine called Echo, which is published from America, in there was an article, and I've still got the cutting to a recent magazine, very glossy cover. And in there it says that Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, she used to call Hazrat Usman radiallahu ta'ala an that bald-headed Jew. Na'uzu billahi min zalik. Can we ever believe a thing like that?
Never.
That Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha used to call Hazrat Usman radiallahu ta'ala anhu that bald-headed Jew. La hawla wa la quwwa, na'uzu billahi min zalik. And we want to have muhabbat for such people. So what I was discussing is this, that Rasulullah Paak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, now he too was very concerned. But he had to do justice. Here there was slander campaign. There was an accusation against his wife. Now if Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had just said that she is a pure and chaste woman and I have got full trust and confidence in her and I don't care what people say, I'm not going to even find out anything, and that is the end of this chapter, then he was justified in saying that, because he had lived with her, he had known her, and Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala would not have given him a wife who was na'uzubillah of ill repute. So he was justified in saying that, but because he was a Nabi of Allah, and again now if you link it, it just comes to mind to the same three things that we mentioned earlier, that one of the things Allah Ta'ala said that you must only say that which is haq and the truth and fair and just under all occasions. Now here there was an occasion for Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam to boil with anger. A person's wife, and not ordinary person, wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha, this tuhmat is placed on her. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam would have been boiling with anger. And on that occasion, he would have told his sahaba ikram that go to town with all these people that are criticizing and slandering and go and chop off their necks. The sahabas would have given their lives and they would have taken those people to the slaughter house. But Rasulullah Paak sallallahu alayhi wasalam, he did not say anything without wahi. وَمَا يَنْتِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَىٰ. 30 days, brothers, 30 days Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is waiting for the wahi to come. What kind of test this must be for Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam? That for 30 days he is hearing and listening to the voices all around that your wife is a woman of ill repute, na'uzu billah, and she has committed zina with Safwan bin Mu'attal. And what kind of trial this was? If we just picture that, it brings tears to our eyes. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, after 30 days, Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, then he comes with rukus. With whole two rukus he comes. Read in Surah Nur. And the chastity and the purity and the nobility and the greatness of Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha is mentioned. Her name is cleared. And this was the in'am, this was the gift that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gave to Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. That if Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam on that occasion had merely said that I don't believe them, and that is the end of the story, then we would not have had all these ayats. But this, until the Quran Sharif will remain, people will read and they will say that anybody who criticizes Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, or any person who puts tuhmat, and any person who casts a doubt on the chastity and nobility and purity of Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, then he is a Jahannami. Because if Allah ta'ala has revealed it in the Quran Sharif, then we don't believe anybody else, we believe our Allah. So till the day of Qiyamah, and not only till the day of Qiyamah, even in Jannat, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will recite the Quran Sharif. And the people in Jannat will listen to the recitation of the Quran Sharif directly by that Allah who revealed that Quran Sharif. Ah, what enjoyment, what pleasure they will be. What we are getting carried away with this music and with all this pop music and this music and that music, and we think that there's enjoyment. What enjoyment there is in the recitation of the Quran Sharif. Listen to it, listen to the beautiful tapes of the beautiful Qurra's recitations. And then imagine and picture that a day will come that if Qari Basit can read like this, and if this Qari Sahib can read like that, and if that Qari Sahib can read like that, then they are all human beings, and they are all the ummatis of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then what kind of recitation must that be when my Nabi used to be standing in the Musalla, and when his companions used to be behind him, and that Quran which was being revealed to him, when my Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam used to say Allahu Akbar in his tahajjud and is reading away the Quran Sharif, what kind of a recitation that must have been. And if that was the recitation of my beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then what kind of recitation will that be when in Jannat Allah ta'ala will say, oh my servants, you sacrifice in the world according to my commands. You restrained yourself from all the evil and from all the haram because it was my command. There were many things that were distracting you and attracting you, and there were so much of temptations placed in your path. There was temptation to your right and to your left and in front of you and behind you, and temptation from the satellite from above you. All kinds of temptation were around you, but you said that no, I am a believer in Allah who revealed the holy Quran Sharif to Rasulullah Paak sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And in that Quran Sharif, if Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has declared something haram, then I am not going to in any way indulge in that haram. So oh my servants, you restrained yourself. Now in this Jannat, it is yours. Enjoy yourself. There is no pain here, no sickness, no disease, no ill health, no ibadat, no zikr, no tilawat. Yes, if you do it out of enjoyment and pleasure, then alhamdulillah. But there is no imposition upon you of any kind. There is no fast to keep here, and there is no zakat to give here. And there is no hajj to make here. And there is going to be no envy and no jealousy and no malice and no greed. What kind of life are we leading here? What are we giving our hearts to everything in this world? Yes, make use of the things. Make use of the things with shukar of Allah Ta'ala. Oh Allah, it's your ni'mat, I'm making use of it. But what? Don't give the hearts to it. Don't attach the hearts to it. So then imagine Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's recitation to the people in Jannat. Now when Allah Ta'ala will recite the Quran Sharif, won't he recite Surah Nur also? And when he is going to recite Surah Nur, the billions of people who did not hear about this surah but are now in Jannat, because the Quran Sharif was revealed to Rasulullah Paak sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The incident of Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha took place in the time of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. It took place in Madina Sharif. It took place after the Hijrat. It took place in this particular expedition that was taking place, Bani Mustalaq. It didn't take place in the time of the Nabis of the past. So, but now in Jannat, right from the time of Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, right up till the day of Qiyamah, each and every Muslim, whoever believed in the prophets of the past is a Muslim. And whoever will believe in Rasulullah Paak sallallahu alaihi wasallam till the day of Qiyamah is a Muslim. Imagine the billions of ummatis, they in Jannat. Now they will listen to the recitation of the Quran Sharif. And amongst the recitation of the ayat, one ayat will be that in which Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha's purity is mentioned. Imagine, the entire Jannatis from A to Z, in whichever category, in whichever stage, just picture it. Now they are listening to the purity of and the chastity of Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. Is this an ordinary in'am, an ordinary gift? If somebody has to just tell somebody that, mashallah, that your wife is a very intelligent woman, and she is a very pious woman, and she is a very zakira and shakira, and abida and zahida and saliha, so then that person, how happy he will get. Now in Jannat, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will read those ayats in which Rasulullah Paak sallallahu alaihi wasallam, beloved wife, whom these enemies of Islam, they say that she is a woman of ill repute, Allah ta'ala will read and tell all the people of the past nations also. So brothers, I don't know what I was discussing. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, 30 days, after 30 days the wahi comes. Now what should have happened? What should have happened? Everybody would have been very angry. with those who were criticizing, or with those who were mocking, or with those who were carrying out this slander campaign, with those who were making these false charges and accusations, everybody should have been very angry. It's natural. Now, amongst those who got very angry was Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, because it was his daughter. She was the wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but she was also the daughter of Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So this you have heard before, but why I am repeating it, because it came to my mind now, that we normally just read this, or we just listen to it, but just picture ourselves in that situation. Now here is Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Now when the ayats came, Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu used to be assisting and helping one cousin of his, Mistah. He used to be helping this cousin of his. In fact, he brought him up. He was giving him everything, clothing, food, shelter, everything. But he was also part of that campaign. Afterwards he made Tawbah, but he was part of that campaign. Because this munafiqeen, they carried it out in such a way that they made the people believe, some of them believe. They went on and on. They say one lie, if you say 100 times, it sounds like the truth. So they went on and on. So Hazrat Mistah radiallahu ta'ala an, he was also part of it. Now Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu said that I'm not going to help him anymore. And he was justified, because it was not an ordinary thing. It was not an ordinary thing. If somebody just has to sway our wives, we will get so angry. And here this 30 days, this campaign. So he became very angry and he said, I'm not going to help. What did Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala reveal? وَلَا يَأْتَلِ أُولُو الْفَضْلِ مِنْكُمْ وَالسَّعَةِ أَنْ يُؤْتُوا أُولِي الْقُرْبَى وَالْمَسَاكِينَ وَالْمُهَاجِرِينَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَلْيَعْفُوا وَلْيَصْفَحُوا أَلَا تُحِبُّونَ أَنْ يَغْفِرَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala reveals a verse. Now imagine, because Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu was with Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam like this. If a person saw the akhlaq of Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, then immediately he knew that, the person knew that this was the akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is how close they were. In the cave of Hira, in the childhood days, in the youth days, everywhere Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu was the first one to sacrifice. On that occasion, we all know Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, on that one battle occasion, he brought everything from the house and gave it to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Rasul Pak sasam asked him, "Oh Abu Bakr, what did you leave behind at home?" He said, "Allah and his Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's name." This Masjid Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, where you and I and the ummah goes and read salat and salam and make namaz and make zikr and tilawat and ibadat, the land was purchased with the money given by Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala. Imagine what amount of goodness and good deeds and sawab is going to his credit. Until the day of Qiyamah, whosoever will go to that masjid, all that is going to the credit of Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala also. So that Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when he said that I'm going to stop the assistance to this cousin, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala did not like this. Because he was with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam all the time. And the akhlaq of Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu had to reflect the akhlaq of his beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If it had been somebody else, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala would have probably said that he is also a Muslim and Islam allows the person to demand his right, and here he has the right to demand justice. But because Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu said that I have submitted myself to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's will and desire, and I have become the slave of my beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and because he adopted in every aspect of his life the character of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, so therefore even in this, where he could have asked for his right, but as Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala revealed this ayat, that let not, the meaning of which is that let not those people whom Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has blessed with grace, in whether it is in the field of religion, in the field of ibadat, zikr, tilawat, or Allah Ta'ala has given them fazal in the case of Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala an, that Allah Ta'ala blessed him with the companionship of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, gave him such a high status, Allah Ta'ala made him most dear and near to Hazrat Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wasalam from amongst the male companions of his. So Allah Ta'ala gave him a status. Now they must not take a qasam that we will, and also those whom Allah Ta'ala has given affluence, Allah has given them plentiful of wealth, or Allah Ta'ala has given plenty of provisions, then they should not take a qasam that we are not going to help. Because he said that I'm not going to help, so Allah Ta'ala says they must not say that we are not going to help. Whom? Allah Ta'ala says they must not say we are not going to help the ulil qurba. The first people that's mentioned there are those who are related, those who are the relatives, that we are not going to help them. Why? Because that relative was very harsh. That relative was very rude to me. I tried to be good to him and he was very harsh and rude to me. So therefore, I'm not going to have anything to do with him lifelong. I'm not going to give him anything now anymore. Here, Nabi alayhi salam, Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, these verses are being revealed that they must not take this qasam that we are not going to help the ulil qurba and the masakeen, the poor, because Mista was poor also, Hazrat Mista. And muhajireen fi sabilillah, they made hijrat also. So all three sifats were in him. So now they must not take qasam that I'm not going to help these people. But then look at the beautiful words of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Wal ya'fu wal yasfu. Overlook, forgive. Forgive and overlook. And then after that, ala tuhibbuna an yaghfira Allahu lakum. Don't you desire that Allah ta'ala forgive you? If you desire that Allah Ta'ala should forgive you, then you also have to have that heart to forgive others. If you don't want Allah Ta'ala to forgive you, then you can also keep saying lifelong, I won't forgive this person, I won't forgive that person, I won't forgive that person. How many people we have said we're not going to forgive? Yes, for religious purposes, for deeni reasons. If the person is inviting us towards sin, inviting us towards haram, or we have told that person nicely, politely, in a good way, this is haram, this is halal, and that person says, you go your way, I go my way, to hell with you, I don't care what you say. Now for such reasons, if a person breaks up friendship, then it's permissible. Or the family member wants us to join in his parties of sin, then at that time if we say that I'm not going to come to that wedding where you are going to be having video filming, because my daughter and my sister and my mother, I don't want must be filmed there, and then after that all the young boys are going to take that film home, and then they are going to sit and watch my sister and your sister and everybody's sisters. Where is the haya and the shame and the modesty left? Those people who are allowing their sisters and daughters to go to these wedding functions and these walimas and these programs where video filming is taking place, then they are actually allowing them to be filmed for the sake of viewing of I don't know how many lustful eyes. Imagine a person has got a pretty daughter, young daughter, pretty daughter, and now she has been filmed in the wedding, and which girl goes to the wedding shabbily dressed? Have we heard? That's why Maulana Ashraf Ali Sahib Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali says, he says, jab aurate kehti hai ki hame shaadi mein jaane ki ijazat de dijiye, to unse kehiye zarur jao, lekin ghar mein jo kapda pehnti hai wahi pehen kar jao. Wear the same dresses that you wear every day in the kitchen and go and see if she goes after that. So now this young girl is well dressed and she's got all her makeup. Now only if the person, of course, is a shameless person, he hasn't got haya in his heart, and Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says if the person has lost his haya, then faf'al mashita. If haya is gone, then after that you can't put a finger on that person. Then the person will do anything. All these people who are behaving like monkeys and donkeys, and those people who are behaving like animals, then what is the reason? Reason is there's no haya left, there's no sharm left. So now this person, his young daughter, young wife, pretty wife, he has sent to that program, to that function. And they know fully well that it's going to be videoed. One is the person just pitched up there and then saw the video and went away from there. But knowing beforehand, so now that video filming is going to take place. After that, copies of that video is going to be made. Then our young sons, they will be sitting somewhere in somebody's house and they will be watching. And what will they be doing? Closing their eyes and watching. Or they will be closing their mouths and watching. They will be commenting on the beauty of all those women. So at such a time, if this person says that you can become angry and displeased, I don't care. First of all, I would advise you that if you want me to come and attend that function and program, then make it comfortable for my wife and sisters and daughters, that stop that video filming, stop that music, have it according to the Sharia, then we have got no objection, we will be there. But if you are not happy to please Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, if you are not concerned about the deen and Sharia, So then, just for business reasons, if I am going to please you, then Allah Ta'ala will one day make you my enemy. It is mentioned in the hadith that if a person displeases Allah in search of the pleasure of some human being, the mafhum of that hadith is that the person is trying to please somebody else. He knows fully well that my Allah will be displeased with me, but he is trying to please somebody, and in the process getting the displeasure of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Then Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will put the hatred of the same person into the heart of that person that he was trying to please, and that same person will become his enemy one day. And we have seen it in our lives. So it's just for business reasons. They say, well, you see, I've got to do business with him. Or he's my family member. Or he is this and he is that. So where does our iman go then? Where is all that shout of ours according to the sunnah and according to the Quran and according to the hadith, and we must bring about a renaissance and we must bring about Islamic revival? Where is all that? They are talking about Islamic revivals, Islamic renaissance and Islamic this and Islamic that. Again, it reminds me that one person said that everybody talks about the rise of Islam, but they can't rise until the sun has risen. After the sun has risen, then they rise. And they talk about the rise of Islam. They can't rise for Fajr Namaz. So therefore, this person, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, will then put the hatred into those people's hearts. And they were friends today, but one day you'll find that they will break up. Because they tried to please somebody else, displeasing Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. So at such a time, if you break up that relationship, it doesn't mean that you must break it up altogether. What it means is that you don't attend that program. But if they become angry and annoyed, then you still telephone them. When you meet them, you make salam. And if you get the opportunity, you send them some gifts. And you say that, look, still I will try to maintain what Allah Ta'ala has asked me to maintain. But as far as that occasion is concerned, or that incident is concerned, then there I was bound. My hands were tied with the laws of Allah and the Sharia, so I could not please you there. So go about it in a nice way. Like when people phone me and ask me, what must we do at such a time, and now they are very close and they are this and they are that, then I tell them, a day before the function, a day before the marriage, a day before the walima, take some gifts and go to their house, have some tea with them and give them the gift and say, I wish you all the best, and make dua for the child that's getting married, and come away. That's about all. You don't have to break off contact altogether. And in fact, that will be a better opportunity, because that on that occasion there will be 1,000 people. Here you'll be just 2-3 people. So you can talk to them nicely. You can sit with them and enjoy that cup of tea. There's lots of ways if you want to really go about following the Sharia. But if a person does not want to follow, jo karna hi na chahe, to phir bahane hazar hai. If the person does not want to do it, then there's a lot of excuses the person can make. So what I'm saying is that on that occasion now, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says that don't you desire that you should be forgiven. So if you desire that you should be forgiven, then you should forgive also. Overlook, forgive. Now, even if that ayat was revealed, like for example now, this ayat is not being revealed now, but it is in the Quran Sharif and I have mentioned it now. Now there are so many of us here, we have got problems with our brothers, sisters, aunties, grannies, nieces and nephews. So I'm not saying that don't solve that problem, don't ask for your right, don't ask for the money that they are owing you, ask for everything if you want to. But don't close that door, of family relationship. Don't shut that door, don't slam that door. Maintain those ties, meaning that if you meet the person, or now and again you telephone the person, or that those gifts that you used to send before, or whatever used to happen in the past, then at least maintain that to some extent. Don't cut off family ties altogether because of some problem. Now when we hear this ayat, how many of us will have that himmat and that courage that we will say that yes, I think whatever happens, because Allah Ta'ala's Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has promised, man tawada'a lillah rafa'ahu Allah, the person who humbles himself for the sake of Allah, Allah will elevate him. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has said that that person who forgives, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will definitely give him respect and honor. So I will go out of my way. Now we will find it difficult, but see Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu. No second thought at all. What kind of people they were? They were also human beings, like ordinary human beings, but they were blessed with the company of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. When we say they were human beings, like ordinary human beings, what it means, that they also had flesh and bones, they had eyes, they had ears. If a stone was thrown at them, they suffered injury and pain. And if somebody swore them, they also fell hurt. They were also human beings. But the moment the Quranic verse came in front of them, finished, they bowed down their head. They didn't question twice. Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala, no, he said, indeed, I want Allah ta'ala to forgive me. And not only did he restore the gifts, not only that he started caring for him again and giving him whatever he used to give him, it is mentioned in the Hadith Sharif that he doubled it. Imagine the person who slandered, the person who said that your daughter, na'uzu billah, committed adultery. She is a woman of ill repute, that's what it meant at that time. And now when he is forgiving him, he is not only saying forgiving, because we will probably say, all right, well then we'll forgive the person, forget about it. Here he's not only forgiving, he is giving those gifts again, he's taken care of him, he's giving him again food, shelter, clothing, whatever he was giving him, and not only that much, but he has doubled it. He's giving double that, what he was giving. This is the lesson that we have to take. These are the ashiks of Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is just one incident. There are so many incidents. But this incident, every time I read, it just makes me think that what those 30 days, what they must have been for Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and his companions. Where the munafiqeen are getting happy. They're getting very happy that no ayat is coming. Allah ta'ala sometime gives a robe, allows them to continue. Therefore we should not become despondent, we should not lose hope, we should not feel that now all this opposition, what's going to happen? Nothing. If the person's ta'alluq with his Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is firm and strong, then he will read these incidents and he will say that if my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if he could have gone through these type of trials, then if somebody just swore me, if somebody just criticized me, if somebody just mocked and teased me, if somebody just said a word or two here and there, then what kind of people are we that now we are not prepared to even smile and talk to that person? We're not even prepared to make salam to that person. We're not even prepared to give that person any kind of gift anymore. We are not prepared to even associate with that person in any way. Yes, but Shariat again, being a Shariat that is practical. So there is an incident again of Hazrat Wahshi. Hazrat Wahshi radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he martyred Hazrat Hamza radiallahu ta'ala an, and we all know that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he was so grieved when he saw the body of his uncle Hazrat Hamza radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that tears began to flow from his eyes, because his ears were cut, the nose was cut, the liver was removed, the heart was removed. But Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, when he saw that, he teared. But after that, when Hazrat Wahshi accepted Islam, and Hazrat Wahshi radiallahu ta'ala anhu came before him, so Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam told him, everything is forgiven. However, if it's possible for you, then don't come in front of me. When you are sitting, then don't sit in front of me. Preferable that you sit behind me. Now look at Hazrat Wahshi radiallahu ta'ala anhu. That he saw that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, the moment he's going to see me, he will think of his uncle. So I rather not go to his and sit there anymore. Now how difficult that was for him. But he stayed away. Or whenever he didn't come in front of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Now the muhaddiseen have said that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, if he could have forgiven those enemies who were thirsty for his life and blood, he could have forgiven everybody, then what was it difficult for him to look at the face of Hazrat Wahshi? Because just as Hazrat Wahshi martyred Hazrat Hamza radiallahu ta'ala, so many others, Hazrat Khalid bin Walid radiallahu ta'ala, and so many others, they martyred so many others too. So he could have told all of them also, don't come. But this one incident we find only in which he mentioned this. And the reason for that is, until the day of Qiyamah, there will be people again of different temperaments. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, being rahmatul lil alameen, he desired that there must be some example for the people to come after him. That there could be a person, he was very close friend of someone. Now that friend did him down. He took him for a ride. He committed fraud and stole millions of his. Or the person was married in that family and something happened and big tufan and damal took place. So now he does not want to talk to him anymore. So Shariat will say, no, you must keep the doors, relationship, family relationship open, talk to him. But you do not have to maintain that same relationship that you had in the past before that trouble. How beautiful Islam is. Because it can happen that the person was a very close friend, trusted friend, dear friend, near and close. And now suddenly, now this friend has betrayed him, so the heart now does not desire to keep that same friendship with him anymore. So Sharia says there is no sin. If you don't wish to keep that same friendship, there's no sin. As long as when you meet him, you make salam, don't make ghibat of him, and try and resolve the problem Islamically, that is sufficient. You don't have to now again go traveling with him and visiting with him and as you used to go in the past. How beautiful. So Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that my Rabb ordered me that I must maintain ties with those who sever their ties with me, and I must give to those who deprive me of their gifts, and I must forgive those who have done injustice to me. So this makes it 3 and 3, 6. Inshallah, if Allah Ta'ala wills, then we will go further from there. But if not, then whatever comes into the mind, I will bring it to your attention. Allah Ta'ala must give us all the tawfiq of amal, give us hidayat. Allah Ta'ala must fill our hearts with such love of His and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that we become the fish that swims deep in that ocean of marifat and love of Allah. Let us imagine an ocean, and that ocean is the love of Allah and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Now one is that fish which swims high up in the water. So that fish, sometimes children also, they can grab it. If there is that kingfisher, or what bird they call that, it sits on the shore and that can grab it too. All those birds that fly, they can come and grab it because it's right there. So if we are going to be the fish right on the top there, just proclaiming love of Allah and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam with our tongues, then nafs and shaitan will just pluck us like that and take us away. That's what they will do. Ke muhabbat muhabbat ka dawa karenge, lekin nafs aur shaitan chand kodiyon ke awaz hame khinch kar le jayega. Just for a few miserable coins, nafs and shaitan will take all this muhabbat away. So we must ask Allah Ta'ala to make us that fish which swims deep in the ocean of the love of Allah Ta'ala. Amen. Deep down. That no matter how far the fisherman casts his rod, but he cannot reach it. They don't get trapped in that bait. They don't get trapped in that bait of temptation. As I mentioned on Jumma day, there are different people here. The temptation is a thing which leads people into trouble. Temptation will lead you into trouble and will make you cry. That is what that person sang in the 1950s. The person is tempted all the time. Temptation, everywhere there's temptation. The person wants to become rich, so he commits fraud. So what led him to that? Temptation. But then what does it lead him finally to? Tears. Temptation will make you cry. Temptation will lead you into trouble and will make you cry. And I mentioned in that Friday talk that not only does the person cry himself when he gets caught up in this temptation, that when he commits zina, then sometimes he has to cry, that girl has to cry, and the families have to cry. When the person commits theft, sometimes he has to cry, the family has to cry, and his whole and the friends have to cry. So many others have to cry with him now, because this person has committed a theft or a crime, and he has committed murder, for example. Now if his life is taken, then his children are going to cry. His wife is going to cry. His brothers and sisters are going to cry. Sometimes they've got old parents whose hair is gone white. Their backs have gone bent. But now they are crying. They say, what did my son do? What did my son do? Haven't we heard so many times those old people coming to us and says, Maulana, I don't know what made my son do this. We are just crying. Day and night we are crying. So have mercy, have some pity, have some raham on ourselves, on our wives, our children, and our parents. And then this crying will not stop here. Then it will make us cry in the qabr, it will make us cry on hashar. And then in jahannam, even if we cry tears of blood, it's not going to help them. May Allah Ta'ala protect me, protect you, and protect the entire Ummat of Rasulullah Paak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammadin wa barik wa sallim. Ey Allah, hum tere gunegar bande hai, hum siyakar hai, khatakar hai, gunegar hai, badkar hai, sab kuch hai, lekin mere khuda tere bande hai. Oh Allah, protect our iman. Oh Allah, protect our iman, especially in these days of fitna and corruption and mischief. Ya Allah, there's so much of temptation. Temptation from our right, temptation from our left, temptation from in front of us, temptation from behind us, temptation from above and beneath. Ey Allah, in these times of fitna and corruption, if you are not going to protect us, then you tell us, who can we turn towards? Ey mere Allah, tere siwa hamara koi nahi hai. Ey mere pyare Rahim, Kareem Allah, tere siwa hamara koi nahi hai. Ey Allah, agar tu ne teri nazre rahmat pher li, if you are going to turn away your glance of rahmat and maghfirat, then oh my Allah, you tell us which other door is there that we can tap. Who else is there before whom we can extend these hands and beg? Ya Allah, change the conditions of our lives. Ya Allah, bless us all with long life, with good health, with prosperity, with happiness, with contentment, with satisfaction. Oh Allah, bless us, bless our parents, bless our wives and children, bless our brothers and sisters, and the entire ummah of Rasulullah Paak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam throughout the world. Oh my Allah, bless them all with the best of this world and the best of the akhirah. اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه نبيك وحبيبك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذ منه نبيك وحبيبك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وأنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. Thursday.